18. Outside, the entire room shook. Inside, the train car lurched, though it appeared someone had been kind enough to secure it in place, preventing Waxillium from being thrown about too much. He held onto the rope he'd tied around the strongbox, head down, vindication up beside his ear. As soon as the blast wave passed, he threw himself over the top of the box and ducked out into the room. Smoke churned in the air. Bits of stone and steel were scattered across the floor. Most of the lights had been knocked out by the explosion, and those that remained were swinging wildly, painting the room with bewildering shadows. Waxillium scanned the devastation and did a quick count. At least 4 men down. He probably could have hit more if he'd detonated the explosion earlier, but he'd worried about hurting innocents. He'd needed a moment to glance out and make sure that Steris or others weren't near. Waxillium pushed up and backward off a scrap of metal, throwing himself into the air before any vanishers could draw a bead on him. He aimed vindication as he flew, shooting one man who was rising and shaking his head. Waxillium landed atop the train car and fired twice more with precision, killing 2 more vanishers. A ragged figure stood up on the side of the room, and Waxillium shot just before he recognized Miles. The left side of his suit coat and shirt had been shredded, but he'd already regrown his flesh and now was lifting a gun of his own. Damn, Waxillium thought, dropping down behind the wrecked train car. He'd been hoping to find himself in a more traditional hideout, with narrow hallways and hidden nooks, not this open stone pen of a room. It was going to be hard not to get boxed in here. He glanced around the side of the rail car and was met with a hail of fire from 4 or 5 different places. He ducked back around, hastily reloading vindication with ordinary rounds. He was pinned down already. This was not going well. Another of the room's lights flickered, then went out. Fires started by the explosion illuminated the room with a primal red glow. Waxillium crouched down, vindication held ready. He didn't bother with a steel bubble. They were all firing aluminum bullets. It was either get pinned down and killed as they rounded the rail car, or risk getting shot as he broke out. So be it. He kicked up a chunk of metal, then pushed it in front of him. It drew gunfire as he charged after it, pushing behind himself to rise soaring through the air. He turned sideways, firing as he flew, mostly to force the enemy to keep their heads down. He managed to shoot one, however, before hitting the ground and sliding into the shadow of some fallen boxes. He righted himself and reloaded hastily. His side was aching, bleeding through the bandage. The rail car was affixed to the north side of the room. He'd dashed out to the west, and it ended up in the northwestern corner of the room where the boxes were stacked. The western side, a little bit to the south of him, opened on some kind of tunnel. Maybe he could run that way. He ducked around the side of the boxes and plugged one of the vanishers in the forehead. Then he rolled into cover behind a larger stack of crates. Someone was creeping around the boxes to his left. He could hear their steps crunching on bits of rubble from the explosion. Waxillium raised his gun, stepped to the side, and fired. The black-suited man raised a casual hand. Tracking the bullet with the blue lines of an allomancer, Waxillium could see it get flung back and hit the wall above him. Great. A coin shot. He rolled Vindication's cylinder, locking it into place. Unfortunately, fire from the other vanishers forced him back down before he could shoot the special round. That coin shot was close. Waxillium had to move quickly. He grabbed a few of the weighted kerchiefs from his pockets and threw them out with pushes to draw fire, then worked his way around the right side of the boxes. He had to keep in motion. It. He came face to face with someone moving around the boxes to flank him. The lean man had ashen skin and wore Wayne's hat. Tarson, he'd been called at the other fight. Tarson's eyes widened in surprise, and he swung a fist, never mind that it was holding a revolver. The man was Kolos-blooded, maybe a pewter arm as well, considering how easily he'd recovered from being shot. Men like that often punched first and thought about their guns second. Waxillium barely pulled back in time. He felt the fist brush past the tip of his nose, then collide with one of the boxes, smashing it. He raised vindication, but Tarson, moving with supernatural quickness, slapped it out of his hand. Yes, a pewter arm for certain. Kolos-blooded men were strong, but not nearly that fast. Reflexively, Waxillium pushed himself backward. Going hand to hand with this man would be suicide. The roof exploded. Well, not the entire roof. Just the portion above Waxillium where it looked like the train car had been lowered on some kind of mechanical platform. Waxillium ducked down as pieces of metal dropped. He pushed some away. Gunfire erupted above, and the pewter arm ducked back before it as a few bullets hit the boxes nearby. A figure dropped from above, wearing a duster and holding a pair of dueling canes. Wayne hit hard right beside Waxillium, grunting in pain, and the distinctive shimmer of a speed bubble popped up around them.
"Ouch!"
Wayne said, rolling over and stretching out his leg, letting it heal from fracturing. "You didn't need to jump down so quickly," Waxillium said.
"Oh, yeah? Look up, muffin brains."
Waxillium glanced upward. While he'd been fighting the pewter arm, the black-suited coin shot had advanced. The man was landing in slow motion atop the crates, revolver in hand, a puff of smoke coming out as a bullet slowly left the barrel. That barrel was pointed right at Waxillium's head. Waxillium shivered, then took a deliberate step to the side.
"Thanks, and...
muffin brains?"
"Trying out better insults," Wayne said, climbing to his feet. "You like the new duster?"
"Is that what took you so long? Please tell me you didn't go shopping while I was fighting for my life."
"I had to take out 3 gits what was got in the entrance up above," Wayne said, spinning his dueling canes. "One of them had this fine garment upon his person."
He hesitated.
"I'm a little late 'cause I was trying to figure a way to beat him up without ruining the coat."
"Great."
"Had Marcy shoot him in the foot," Wayne said, grinning. "You ready to do this thing? I'll try to take our friend with the Kolos blood there."
"Be careful," Waxillium said. "He's a pewter arm."
"Charming. You always do introduce me to the most lovely of folks, Wax. Maris is going to cover us from above. Keep the gunmen pinned down. Can you handle the coin shot?"
"If I can't, it's time to retire."
"Oh, is that what we're calling getting shot these days? I'll remember that. Ready?"
"Go." Wayne dropped the speed bubble and rolled forward, surprising the pewter arm as he came around the boxes. The coin shot's bullet hit the ground. Waxillium jumped for vindication, which had fallen onto a nearby box after being knocked from his hand. The coin shot moved by reflex, jumping down and pushing on the gun. Renette was many things, but Rich wasn't one of them, and so vindication wasn't made of aluminum. The coin shot's push threw the gun right at Waxillium's head. He cursed, ducking, letting the gun pass above. He had other guns, of course, but they had only ordinary bullets. Guessing the coin shot was trying to slam the gun into the wall and break it, Waxillium pushed upward with everything he had, sending the gun soaring up through the hole in the ceiling. Waxillium followed it, dropping around and launching himself after his weapon. The coin shot tried to fire on him, but a well-placed shot from Marcy, she was using aluminum bullets herself, nearly took him in the head, causing him to duck away. Waxillium passed into a wave of mist that was falling into the room like a waterfall. He burst into the dark, misty night sky and snatched vindication from the air. He pushed himself sideways off a lamppost as bullets zipped up after him, leaving trails in the mist. He hit the building beside him and grabbed hold. Something dark soared out of the hole and into the air. The coin shot. He was joined by a second man wearing black, also some kind of allomancer, though the trajectory of his flight looked more like that of a lurcher.
"Great."
Waxillium pointed his gun downward and drove an ordinary bullet into the ground, then pushed down on it while decreasing his weight to drive himself into the sky. The other two followed in graceful leaps, and Waxillium rolled the cylinder of vindication and locked it onto the special chamber.
"Goodbye," he thought, firing right at the coin shot's head.
By sheer chance, the man happened to push himself to the side just at that moment. It hadn't been a deliberate dodge, just a lucky motion. The bullet streaked uselessly into the mists past the man, who raised his own gun and fired a pair of shots, one of which clipped the side of Waxillium's arm. Waxillium cursed as his blood sprayed into the dark night, then pushed himself off to the side to move erratically and avoid their fire. Idiot, he thought, angry. Doesn't matter how good your bullets are if you don't aim carefully. He concentrated on staying ahead of the other two, jumping back and forth up the side of the enormous iron spine building. The coin shot moved in graceful leaps after him, while the lurcher was more direct, pulling himself on the metal in the building's steel frame in bursts. He'd jump outward, then pull himself upward and back toward the building, like a strange inverse repeller. Both saved their bullets, waiting for the right shot. Waxillium did the same, but for a different reason. He wasn't certain firing on them would do any good. He needed to load another haze killer round, and, if possible, he needed to split up the two allomancers so he could deal with them one at a time. He worked his way upward, pushing off the steel beneath the stone in the ledges he landed upon. He soon ran into the same problem as the first time he'd climbed this building. It grew narrower at the top, and he could only go up and out, not in. This time he didn't have his shotguns. He'd given those to Tiome. He did have that other haze killer round, the one built to hit a pewter arm especially hard. He hesitated. Should he save it for the man below? No. If he'd died now, he'd never have another chance to face the man below. Waxillium reached out, pulling the trigger and thrusting himself backward. It wasn't as powerful as the shotgun, but as light as he was, it did nudge him back toward the building. The coin shot blew right past him in the air, looking surprised. The man leveled his gun, but Waxillium fired first. An ordinary round, but the coin shot was forced to push against it to keep it away. Waxillium pushed at the same time, and that shoved him to the building. The unfortunate coin shot was launched out into the sky away from the tower. Good, Waxillium thought. Now over 100 feet in the air, he grabbed the facade. He fired down at the lurcher, but the man was pulling carefully. Waxillium's bullet arced and hit the plate on the lurcher's chest. Waxillium hesitated for a moment, then let go of the wall, balancing as he pulled his other revolver out of his second shoulder holster. He emptied it, firing all 6 shots in rapid succession. The lurcher turned, angling his chest toward Waxillium, sparks flying as the bullets hit his breastplate. Luck wasn't with Waxillium. Sometimes you could kill a lurcher that way, as one of the bullets ricocheted toward his face or the plate at his chest got knocked free. Not this night. Cursing, Waxillium threw himself out into the air and dropped past the man. The lurcher jumped out into the air after him. They plunged through the mists. Waxillium fired a shot downward to slow himself right before he hit the ground. He needed to get a shot at the lurcher at just the right angle to. A second shot cracked in the air, and the lurcher screamed. Waxillium twisted, raising his gun, but the lurcher hit the ground face first, already bleeding. Marcy popped up from a shrub next to him.
Oh, that looks like it hurt.
She winced, looking concerned for the man she'd just shot with an aluminum rifle round.
Hurting is kind of the idea, Marcy.
Targets don't scream.
Technically, he was a target, too.
And many thanks to Wayne for grabbing the wrong bullets back after the wedding dinner. He hesitated. What was he forgetting?
The coin shot. Waxillium cursed, dropping the empty ordinary pistol and grabbing Marcy. He ducked into the opening as a spray of gunfire came from the mists, narrowly missing them. Waxillium carried her down into the room, landing softly. The lower chamber was a scene of chaos. Men lay broken on the floor, some dead from the blast, others fallen to Waxillium's shots. A large group of vanishers had set up near the western tunnel, firing out at Wayne, who was in full form, burning through his bend alloy like a madman. He'd appear, draw fire, then vanish into a blur, and appear right next to where he'd been. He called insults as the bullets missed him, then moved again. The gunmen kept trying to guess where he'd appear next, but that was a fruitless game. Wayne could slow time, see where the bullets were heading, then walk to a place where they wouldn't hit. It took a great deal of luck and skill to hit a slider who knew you were there. Impressive as it was, though, it was a delaying tactic. With so many men firing on him, Wayne couldn't risk moving any closer. He had to wait momentarily between creating speed bubbles, and if he was too close to the men, there was a good chance they'd be able to aim, shoot, and hit him in the seconds that he was exposed. The
The longer Wayne tried to dodge, the better the men shooting at him would get at judging the pauses. If he tried it too long, he'd get hit. Waxillium took in the scene, then held out a hand to Marcy.
Dynamite.
She handed him her stick.
Find cover. Try and hit that coin shot when he comes down for us.
Waxillium dashed into the room, firing without looking toward the group of men. They cried out, ducking for cover. Waxillium reached Wayne as a speed bubble went up.
Thanks,
Wayne said. Streaks of sweat ran down the sides of his face, though he was grinning.
The pewter arm? Waxillium asked.
We fought to a standstill, Wayne said. Bastard is fast.
Waxillium nodded. Pewter burners always gave Wayne trouble. Wayne could heal far more quickly, but the pewter arm's powers made him fast and strong. In a hand-to-hand fight, Wayne was at the disadvantage.
He still has my lucky hat,
Wayne noted, nodding to where the gray-skinned man stood behind the group of vanishers, egging them on.
This latest group came from that tunnel. I think there are more down there. Don't know why Miles hasn't brought them in.
Too many guns firing in a room this size gets more and more dangerous for his men, Waxillium said, looking about. He'll want reserves, try to wear us down. Where is Miles, by the way?
Trying to flank me, Wayne said. I think he's hiding to the side of the train car there.
Wayne and he stood in the center of the room, train car behind and to the left, boxes and crates behind and to the right, tunnel to the right. Waxillium could reach the train car pretty easily.
Great, he said. First plan to deal with Miles is still a go.
I don't think it'll work.
That's why we have a second plan. But let's hope this one does work. I'd rather not put Marcy in more danger.
Waxillium held up the dynamite. There was no fuse. It was meant to be set off by pulling a detonator.
You go for those men. I've got Miles. Ready?
Yep.
Waxillium tossed the dynamite, and Wayne dropped the speed bubble right before the dynamite hit the border. Any object, small ones particularly, that left a speed bubble was deflected slightly in an unpredictable way. That was why firing bullets out of one was practically useless. The vanishers looked up from their hiding places. The dynamite fell toward them. Waxillium leveled Vindication and fired the last bullet in the cylinder at the falling dynamite. The explosion shook the room, loud enough to set Waxillium's ears ringing. He spun, ignoring that, to see Miles step out from beside the broken train car. Waxillium grabbed a handful of rounds and ran for the vault car, hastily ducking inside to find cover as he reloaded. A figure darkened the doorway a moment later.
Hello, Wax, Miles said.
He stepped up into the vault car.
Hello, Miles.
Taking a deep breath, Waxillium pushed against the metal hooks above, which he'd affixed there to hold the nets in place. They sprang free, dropping the nets around Miles. As Miles jerked about in surprise, Waxillium pushed on the clasps at the bottom of the nets, shooting them out of the gaping hole where the door had been. That pulled the nets tight at the bottom and yanked Miles's feet out from under him. Miles hit the floor of the railcar's interior, banging his head against the box that held the aluminum. That probably wouldn't even daze him, but the awkward fall did make him drop his gun. Waxillium leaped forward, grabbing it and pulling it out of the nets. Then he stood, breathing quickly. Miles thrashed at the nets. Despite his incredible healing powers, he wasn't any stronger than an ordinary man. The trick wasn't to kill him, it was just to incapacitate him. Waxillium stepped forward, only now finding a chance to bind the wound on his arm. It wasn't bad, but it was bleeding more than he would have liked. Miles looked up at him, growing calm. Then he reached into his pocket, got out his cigar case, and pulled out a small, slender stick of dynamite from it. Waxillium froze. He felt an awful moment of realization, followed by a jolt of terror.
Oh, hell!
He threw himself past Miles and out of the rail car. The awkward leap left him spinning in the air. He had a brief glance of Miles yanking at the dynamite's blasting cap. The man was enveloped in a bright, powerful blast. The explosion hurled Waxillium forward like a leaf before the wind. He smashed to the ground, and his vision flashed. He lost a few moments. He came to, bloodied, dazed, rolling to a stop. His head swam. He was unable to move or even think, his heart thumping in his chest. A figure stood up in the rail car. Waxilliam's vision was too blurry to make out much, but he knew it was Miles. His clothing had been shredded, much of it blown off his body. But he was whole. He'd set off dynamite in his hand in order to free himself from the nets.
Rust and ruin, Waxilliam thought, coughing. How badly was he hurt?
He rolled over, numb. That wasn't a good sign.
Is there any doubt that I have been chosen for something great? Miles bellowed.
Waxilliam could barely hear it. His ears were nearly useless after that blast.
Why else would I have this power, Waxilliam? Why else would we be what we are? And yet we let others rule. Let them make a mess of our world while we do nothing but chase petty criminals.
Miles hopped down from the train car, then strode forward, bare-chested, trousers hanging in rags.
I am tired of doing what the city tells me. I should be helping people, not fighting meaningless fights as prescribed by the corrupt and the uncaring.
He reached Waxilliam, leaning down.
Can't you see? Can't you see what important work we could be doing? Can't you see that we're meant to be doing it? Perhaps even ruling? It's almost like we, with the powers we have, are divine.
He seemed to almost be begging for Waxilliam to agree, to give him justification. Waxilliam just coughed.
Bah,
Miles said, straightening up. He flexed a hand.
You don't think I realize that the only way to stop me is to tie me up? A little explosion can serve a man so well, I've found. I keep the dynamite in the cigar cases. Few people look there. You should have questioned the criminals I caught back in the roughs. A few of them tried capturing me with ropes.
Waxilliam coughed. His own voice sounded wrong in his ears.
I couldn't have talked to any of the criminals you caught. You killed them all, Miles. So I did, Miles said.
He grabbed Waxilliam by the shoulder, hauling him to his feet.
I see you dropped my gun as you jumped out of the train. Wonderful.
He punched Waxilliam in the stomach, causing him to exhale with a grunt. Then Miles let him fall to the ground, wandering over toward a gun lying nearby. Dazed, but knowing he needed to get to cover, Waxilliam somehow lurched to his feet. He pushed against a piece of machinery and sent himself sailing across the room, where he landed beside the boxes. Those had been scattered in the blast, but they still provided some protection. Coughing, bleeding, he crawled behind them. Then he collapsed. Wayne spun between two vanishers. He brought his dueling canes to the side, slamming them into the back of one of the men. He was rewarded with a satisfying crack. The man fell. Wayne grinned, dropping his speed bubble. The other man who had been trapped in it with him spun about, trying to draw a bead on Wayne. But while sped up, he'd inadvertently moved into the path of several of his comrades who'd been firing. The vanisher fell in a spray of bullets. Wayne jumped back, erecting another bubble around just him and one confused vanisher. Everything outside slowed. Bullets stilled in the air, shouts vanished, the waves diffusing as they hit the speed bubble. That did strange things to sound. Wayne spun about and knocked the gun out of the hands of the vanisher behind him, then lunged forward and rammed the end of a cane into the man's neck. The man gurgled in surprise. Then Wayne smacked him on the side of the head, dropping him. He stepped back, puffing and spinning one of his canes. His bend alloy was running low, so he ate another bit. His last. More worrisome were his metal mines, which were almost completely spent. Again. He hated fighting that way. A single gunshot could end him. He was as fragile as, well, everyone else. It was most disturbing. He stepped up to the perimeter of his speed bubble, wishing it would move with him. That pewter arm was still wearing Wayne's lucky hat. The man had ducked behind cover when Wayne had thrown the dynamite, and had only just emerged. He didn't appear to have been injured badly. A few scrapes to his face, the sort of thing a pewter arm could ignore. Too bad.
but at least the hat was doing all right. The man had begun to charge toward Wayne, moving extremely slowly, yet noticeably faster than the other vanishers. It was frustrating, but Wayne knew he had to stay away from the man. He'd never beaten a pewter arm without a lot of health stored up. Better to keep jumping around, keeping the man confused until Maracy or Wax could shoot him a few times. Wayne turned and scanned the area nearby, choosing where he should stand as he dropped the bubble. With so many bullets being fired, he didn't want to... Was that Wax? Wayne gaped, only now noticing Waxillium's bloodied form hurtling across the room as if by a steel push. Wax was pointed toward a group of boxes on the northwestern side of the room, to Wayne's left. His suit had been shredded and burned along one side. Another explosion? Wayne thought he'd heard something, but jumping in and out of speed bubbles could really play havoc with sounds. Wax needed him. Time to end this fighting, then. Wayne dropped the bubble and dashed forward. He counted to two, then put up another bubble and dodged right. He dropped it and kept running, bullets streaking through the air where he had been. To the eyes of those trying to track him, he'd have blurred and appeared immediately to the right of where he'd just been. He did it again, dodging back in another direction, then dropped the bubble. Almost there. Another bubble up, and... Something hit Wayne in the arm. He felt the blood before the pain, strangely enough. He cursed, stumbling, and threw up a bubble immediately. He grabbed his arm. Warm blood squirted between his fingers, and in a panic, he tapped the last smidgen of healing in his metal mind. It wasn't enough to fix the gunshot wound. It barely slowed the bleeding. He turned, noticing another bullet about to hit his speed bubble. He jumped to the side just before it touched the perimeter, zipped through the air in a heartbeat, then hit the other side and slowed again, deflected erratically up toward the ceiling. Damn, Wayne thought, tying an improvised bandage on his wounded arm. Someone has very good aim. He glanced about to find the black-suited coin shot kneeling beside the wall, holding a familiar-looking rifle, sights on Wayne. The rifle was the one Renette had given to Maracy. Well, this is going to hell faster than bend alloy burns. He spent a moment of hesitation. Wax was down, but Maracy... What had happened to her? Wayne couldn't spot her anywhere, though the coin shot had cover beside some machinery, and he had her gun. That spoke loads. Wax would want him to go help the girl. Gritting his teeth, Wayne turned and dashed toward the coin shot. Waxillium groaned, stretching against the pain and pulling the small two-shooter from his ankle holster. He'd dropped Vindication in the blast, Renette was going to kill him for that, and he'd left his other gun up above when grabbing Maracy. He was down to this. He unsuccessfully tried to cock the tiny pistol with a shaking hand. He didn't dare prod to feel the extent of his wounds. His leg and arm had been flayed. Mist continued to flood down from the hole above. It had mostly enveloped this side of the room. With despair, Waxillium realized that his two-shooter had been damaged in the blast, and the hammer no longer cocked. Not that it would be of any use against Miles anyway. He groaned again, leaning his head back against the floor. I thought I asked for a little help. A voice returned to him, distinct and unexpected. And a little is what you received, I think. Waxillium started.
Well, could I have some more then? Please?
I must be careful in playing favorites, the voice inside his mind replied. It upsets the balance.
Your God. Isn't playing favorites kind of the point?
No, the voice replied. The point is harmony, creating a way for as many as possible to make their own choices.
Waxillium lay staring up at the swirling mists. The blast had dazed him worse than he'd thought.
Are you divine? The voice asked of him. As Miles claims that Elomancers are?
I, Waxillium thought. If I were, I doubt I'd be in this much pain.
Then what are you?
This is a very bizarre conversation, Waxillium thought back.
Yes.
How can you see things like what has been done by the Vanishers
Waxillium asked, and not do something to help?
I have done something to help. I sent you.
Waxillium breathed out, blowing the mists in front of him. What Miles had said bothered him.
Is there any doubt we've been given this for a reason?
Waxillium gritted his teeth, then forced himself to stand. He felt better in the mists. The wounds didn't seem so bad. The pain didn't seem so sharp. But he was still unarmed, still cornered, still... Suddenly he recognized the box right in front of him. It was his own trunk, the one he'd taken with him when first leaving for the Ruffs 20 years ago. The one, now battered and aged, he'd brought back with him to the city. The one he'd filled with his guns on that night months ago. There was a tassel from a mist coat hanging out of one side.
You're welcome,
the voice whispered. Marcy hid in the shadows behind the broken train car, anxious, her heart pounding. The coinshot had come hunting her after what she'd done to his friend. With his allomancy, he'd been able to see her wherever she ran, despite the darkness and the mist. So she'd tucked the rifle behind a few boxes and hid elsewhere. It felt cowardly, but it had worked. He'd shot a few times into the boxes, then walked around and picked up the gun, looking baffled. He'd obviously expected to find her bleeding and dead. Instead, she was simply unarmed. She had to get to a weapon. Had to do something. Wayne had been shot. He'd lured the coin shot away, but he'd been dripping blood when she'd seen him. The room was chaos, and it left her disoriented. Wayne had told her that the dynamite sticks they had were relatively small ones, but detonating them in close confines was still enormously painfully loud. The gunshots were nearly so. The air smelled of smoke, and when gunshots weren't sounding, she could faintly hear men groaning and cursing and dying. Before the Vanishers had appeared at the wedding dinner, she'd never been in any kind of fight. Now she didn't know what to do. She'd even lost track of which direction was which. The room was dark, lit only by flickering flames, and the mists made apparitions around her. Some Vanishers were huddled together, guarding the mouth of the tunnel with the Kolos-blooded man. She could barely make them out when she peered out of her hiding place. They held their guns leveled. She couldn't go that way. A figure strode from the darkness nearby, and she barely held in a gasp. She recognized Miles' Hundred Lives from his description. Narrow face, short dark hair. He was stripped to the waist, exposing a powerful chest. His trousers were in tatters. He was counting the bullets in a revolver, and was the only one in the room who wasn't creeping or cowering. His legs kicked up mist, which now coated the floor. He stopped by the Vanishers at the mouth of the tunnel and said something she couldn't hear. They ducked away, retreating down the passage. Miles didn't follow them, but strode through the room, getting closer to Marcy. She held her breath, hoping he'd pass closely enough to her hiding place for... A rustle of cloth sounded, and the coin shot dropped into place beside Miles. Miles stopped, raising an eyebrow. "Pull is dead," the coin shot said. Marcy could barely hear him, but she could tell that his voice was taut with anger. "I've been trying to end the short one. He keeps leading me on chases through the room." "I believe I've said before," Miles said, voice loud and bold, "that Wayne and Waxillium are like rats. Chasing them is useless. You need to draw them to you." Marcy leaned forward, breathing shallowly, as quietly as she could. Miles was almost close enough. A few more steps. Miles snapped his revolver closed. "Waxillium crawled somewhere. I lost him. But he's wounded and unarmed." Then Miles turned and pointed the revolver directly at Marcy's hiding place. "Call for him, if you would, Lady Marcy." She froze, feeling a sharp stab of horror. Miles's face was calm, icy, emotionless. He would kill her without a second thought. "Call for him," Miles said more firmly. "Scream." She opened her mouth, but nothing came out. She could only stare at that gun. Her training in the university told her to do as he ordered, then run the moment he turned away. But she couldn't move. The mist-shrouded shadows at the corner of the room began to shift. She ripped her gaze away from Miles. Something dark moved in the mists. A man, standing up tall. The mists seemed to draw back. Waxillium stood there, wearing a large, duster-like coat, cut into strips below the waist. A pair of revolvers gleamed in holsters at his hips, and he rested a shotgun on each shoulder. His face was bloodied, but he was smiling. Without a word, he lowered the shotguns and blasted Miles in the side.